From Jack Hopkins Now, the Iran question nobody in Washington once asked. The Jack Hopkins Now newsletter #895, Monday, May 11th, 2026. How much influence does Benjamin Netanyahu actually have over Trump's Iran policy? Not because the question is illegitimate, but because the moment you ask it, people start getting nervous. Israel controls America, which is simplistic nonsense. A foreign leader with decades of obsession about Iran may have successfully pushed a highly influenceable American president toward confrontation. That second statement? There is now a mountain of evidence for it. Enough evidence, in fact, that even establishment analysts who normally avoid this topic entirely have started cautiously acknowledging what's happening in plain sight. Because if you step back from the partisan noise, if you ignore the slogans, if you simply look at the timeline, the meetings, the public statements, the policy reversals, and the reporting from inside the White House, you can build a very strong case that Netanyahu has exercised extraordinary influence over Trump's Iran decision-making. Not total control, not ownership, but influence so substantial that previous American presidents spent years resisting the exact same pressure Trump ultimately embraced. And that matters, because Netanyahu has wanted a direct confrontation with Iran for decades. Benjamin Netanyahu did not suddenly become concerned about Iran last month. This has effectively been the organizing principle of his geopolitical worldview for much of his political life. He pushed George W. Bush. He pushed Obama. He pushed Biden. And according to multiple analyses and reports, he repeatedly argued that Iran represented an existential threat requiring aggressive military action and ultimately regime destabilization. The difference? That alone should make people pause. Because if four presidents hear the same pitch and only one fully buys it, it tells you something important about the relationship between the salesman and the buyer. According to reporting summarized by ABC and other outlets, Netanyahu gave Trump and senior officials an hour-long presentation arguing that Iran was weak, vulnerable, and potentially on the verge of collapse. Iran's ballistic missile capability could be crippled quickly. The regime was internally fragile. The Strait of Hormuz threat was manageable. A joint U.S.-Israeli operation could trigger regime collapse. That's not diplomacy. That's a sales pitch for war. And according to reporting on the meeting, some U.S. officials were deeply skeptical. One CIA assessment reportedly described aspects of the regime collapse scenario as farcical. But Trump reportedly responded favorably. Sounds good to me. That line may end up haunting American foreign policy for years, because what followed looks very much like a president internalizing Netanyahu's framework for the region. Iran could not be trusted. Negotiations were weakness. Military pressure was necessary. Iran's nuclear infrastructure had to be dismantled. The regime itself was the underlying problem. Over time, Trump's language began mirroring that worldview more and more closely. Even when Trump occasionally flirted with negotiations, Netanyahu repeatedly pushed for tougher demands and broader conditions. And eventually the line between Trump's position and Netanyahu's position became increasingly difficult to distinguish. Axios even reported that U.S. officials viewed Trump as more aligned with Netanyahu's maximalist objectives than many of his aides. Not more aligned than Republicans. Not more aligned than hawks. More aligned than his own advisors. That is not a small detail. If Netanyahu spent years unsuccessfully lobbying multiple presidents for confrontation with Iran and then suddenly succeeded with Trump, Iran didn't fundamentally change. Netanyahu's arguments didn't fundamentally change. The variable was Trump. That does not mean Trump is Netanyahu's puppet. But it does strongly suggest Trump is unusually susceptible to Netanyahu's framing, pressure, and strategic worldview. Admiration for perceived strength, attraction to certainty, preference for dramatic action, resistance to nuanced intelligence analysis, susceptibility to flattery, preference for personal relationships over institutional process. Netanyahu understands all of those dynamics extraordinarily well. He may understand them better than almost any world leader. And if you were trying to persuade Trump toward military escalation, certainty, speed, victory, minimal downside, historic legacy. Multiple reports suggest intelligence officials and advisors warned that Netanyahu's assumptions about regime collapse were wildly optimistic. And yet the administration still drifted toward escalation. That matters because it suggests the policy movement wasn't purely emerging from America's institutional analysis. It appears to have been heavily driven by top-level political persuasion. And who was doing most of that persuasion? Again and again. Meeting after meeting. Presentation after presentation. Pressure campaign after pressure campaign. Bloomberg even described Netanyahu building a drumbeat of influence through repeated meetings with Trump. A drumbeat, not one conversation. Not one briefing, a sustained influence operation directed at the President of the United States. There's an important distinction here. Saying Trump was strongly influenced by Netanyahu is not the same as saying Trump had no independent motivations. Projection of strength, domestic political optics, anti-Iran ideology, alliance politics, desire for historic legacy, belief in coercive pressure, and there are reports showing moments of disagreement between the two men. But influence is not the absence of agency. The menu of acceptable options, the emotional framing, the urgency, the assumptions, the perceived risks, the definition of victory, and by that standard, the evidence for Netanyahu's influence is overwhelming. That's cartoon thinking. The real issue is whether an American president became strategically dependent on the worldview of a foreign leader whose interests are not perfectly aligned with America's. That's a much more serious question, because Israel's risk calculations regarding Iran are not identical to America's. Israel lives in the region. Israel views Iran through an existential lens. Israel has different political pressures, geographic realities, and strategic priorities. Global economic fallout, military costs, regional escalation risks, oil disruption, alliance strain, long war exposure, and yet America increasingly appeared to adopt Netanyahu's preferred framework anyway. That is precisely why this debate has become so explosive. Why? Because fractures are becoming visible only after escalation already occurred. Disagreements over end goals, frustration over prolonged conflict, differing expectations about outcomes, diverging political pressures, that's what often happens after leaders jointly walk into a dangerous strategy. The alliance holds during the sales pitch. The strain appears once reality arrives, and reality as a way of humiliating overly confident geopolitical fantasies. Especially fantasies involving regime collapse in the Middle East. America has seen that movie before. Benjamin Netanyahu spent years trying to convince American presidents to confront Iran directly. Most resisted him. Trump embraced the argument more fully than any modern president. That does not prove control, but it absolutely supports the argument that Netanyahu exercised extraordinary influence over Trump's Iran posture. And pretending otherwise now requires ignoring an enormous amount of evidence sitting directly in public view. Hold fast back soon. Jack Hopkins, P.S. The most dangerous influence in politics is rarely the obvious kind. It's not usually commands. It's not puppet strings. It's repetition, excess, emotional framing, constant reinforcement. A leader hearing the same worldview over and over from someone he admires until eventually that worldview starts